It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, December 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. I'm standing at the nexus of holiday consumerism just off Fifth Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. There's definitely some last-minute Christmas shopping going on, including at the Snap Spectacles pop-up store, which is across the street. Snap Inc., as you probably know, is the new name for Snapchat, the platform that lets people send photos, texts, and short video clips to each other. Snap's new spectacles look kind of like stylish sunglasses, but they also let you record, then send videos and photos directly from your shades to your phone. And the pop-up store here in Manhattan is one of the only places you can get Snap Spectacles right now. So the lines have been, well, medium-sized. The line here in Manhattan is medium-sized. I'm going to talk with some of the people who are buying the Snap Spectacles as they come out of the store. What's your name?
Clara.
Clara what?
Rojo.
Where are you from?
Argentina.
Are you about to buy some Snap Spectacles or not?
Very probably, yes.
Yeah?
I'm very tempted to. I tend to lose glasses, so it might not be the best idea, but...
Do you use Snapchat?
Yeah, a lot.
Why are you interested in the spectacles?
It's just like a little extra gadget. It's not like anything you've ever seen. It's actually quite new.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
What about Google Glass? Do you remember Google Glass?
I know it was a fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, Google Glass wasn't very aesthetically pleasing. You know, it's like the Google nerd only had them.
For the nerds.
Yeah, they seem quite cooler.
And you're cool, so you're not...
Of course.
Right.
We need a little bit of sun to wear them out, so
yeah.
a little bit of heat would be good.
Maybe this guy will talk to us about it. Did you just buy some?
Yeah, I just bought two.
All right.
Yeah, I'm heading to India for my wedding, and I was like, what better place to, you know, put on some Snap Spectacles?
Okay, you're sort of knocking them together here. What do they look like?
First time I saw these, it kind of looks like, you know, cases for tennis balls, but...
There you go.
Right?
That's right.
That's
yeah.
What came to mind. But yeah I got two black pairs, one for me, one for my fiance, and...
What's your name?
Sarab Dargar.
Okay, and are you from here?
Yeah, so my fiance and I live up here on the Upper East Side, but we want to do a traditional Indian wedding, so we're going to India. And, you know, what better way to involve our friends who can't make it than by Snapchatting?
You're obviously bought into this. Is there anything creepy about it to you?
I could say yes. I tried at Google Glasses, and, you know, there is a little bit of a creep factor to it. If someone walks up to me I don't know and it shows it's recording, it would definitely creep me out. But I think if you use it within a safe setting with your friends or your family who know what you're doing.
Or at a wedding when you're sending people important data that they would like to see. That's good.
Right. You know, I think that's a good place to use it. But I definitely wouldn't be walking with these and going out to random people, you know.
Thanks a lot for chatting with us.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That store in Manhattan is only open until December 31st, and yes, you know we got a pair of spectacles. Tweet us what you think we should do with them. We're at Marketplace Tech. We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. We're going to keep talking about Snap. There's clearly a lot of buzz around the company's spectacles. This is undoubtedly a marketing win, but buzz doesn't always equal financial success when it comes to hardware products. So for a bit of a gut check on things you wear on your face that shoot what you see and get it on the internet, we're going to check in with Forrester analyst Julie Osk. Julie, thanks for chatting.
Thank you for having me.
So how would you judge Snap's first piece of hardware?
So while the hardware in itself is interesting, I think what's really going to give this product lift and generate a lot of the buzz is that it's at a price point of $130. You know, consumer electronic manufacturers realize if they want to get consumers to try something that they don't really understand the use case, they don't really know what they're going to do with it, that's about where the sweet spot is.
How much of all of this is also about scarcity and marketing?
Yeah, so there's definitely an element of that. I mean, they've been talking about these spectacles for months now. Like, I mean, I've been trying to get my hands on a pair. I wish I were in New York today. I'd go stand in line with all these other 20-somethings and buy a pair.
Is this also a test for Snap to see if it can go bigger on stuff like this?
This is as much a lift to their marketing as it is to, let's say, their business model. Very few companies globally make money selling hardware. You know, Apple does, Samsung does, but you tend to have a lot of scale to do that.
How broad do we think a piece of hardware like this can go?
You know, I think whether you can say this is a good or a bad or it's eventually limiting is I think one of the things that plagued Google Glass was consumer concerns about privacy. For the young man who's traveling to India with his wife, it's his wedding, it's his guests, okay to put on, you know, Snap spectacles and record that event, especially for those folks, you know, back at home in New York. But I guarantee you, I walk into the house of half of my friends wearing those glasses and they throw me out. And also, Ben, I think if we look kind of like more broadly at the wearables market here over the next 5 years, if you look at that market today, it's still pretty much dominated by these wearables or what we call these pedometers. But if we look 5 years out, about 40% of the market is traditional fitness bands, 40% is smartwatches, and 20% is in this other category. So devices like glasses that I can wear that might record content or allow me to view content from the internet.
Forrester's Julie Osk. Julie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This week's episode of our podcast, Codebreaker, is all about encryption, not just the fancy stuff, but the stuff we use every day. And Snap, for what it's worth, sells itself as a company that lets you share your life and messages with a private network of friends. Well, Amnesty International has criticized Snap for not protecting user data with what's called end-to-end encryption. If you want to learn a lot more about encryption, why it's important to you, and how it's been used for hundreds, even thousands of years, head to the website codebreaker.codes, or you can search Codebreaker, one word, on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.